The Winter Olympics have not disappointed Wisconsinites this year. We got Jordan Stoltz, right, from Kewaskum, Wisconsin, my hometown. 2 gold medals and a silver medal. He learned how to speed skate on a little pond. I hung out with him as a kid, just kidding, I don't know him. But actually, I want to talk today. For some reason, I got really into figure skating during the Olympics this year. From sturgeon spearing to figure skating. And this guy really caught my attention. First time in 50 years, Ilya Malinin doing backflips on the ice, the quad god. I'm not going to break down the quad for you, what that is, because I don't understand it either. But he spins a lot, and he was favored to get the gold in the men's singles event. And then he shows up to start his routine, and people were talking about bad ice conditions, and people were falling, and he ended up falling twice, getting 8th place. But instead of blaming it on the ice, he just took ownership, and he said, here's what happened. I think we can relate. This helps us with the topic of temptation, what's going on with us. Going into that starting post, I just felt like all the traumatic moments of my life really just started flooding my head. There's just so many negative thoughts that just flooded into there, and I just did not handle it. You think of all the outward pressure, the high expectations, but then it got in his head, and it took him down, right? And that is a starting point for us as we think about how temptation really works. It comes from the outside of us, but then when it makes its way in, when we entertain it, that's when it takes us down. It's like the devil is at the door looking through the keyhole. That's temptation. That happened to Jesus, but then yielding is letting him in. Sin is when we actually let him into the door. Today we're gonna see Jesus going out to the wilderness to battle the devil. The wilderness in the Bible, it is a theme throughout the Bible. Many times God's people end up out in the wilderness. And why is that important? It is a place of isolation. It is a place of testing, of temptation, of hunger, of loneliness, of feeling distant from God. And you start to think of your wilderness and mine, wherever we are feeling weak in life, sick, injured, ashamed, tested, tempted. The wilderness is a place where God actually shows up over and over in the Bible. When we're feeling that distance, that weakness, he comes to us. We're going to see that today with how Jesus faces the devil for us. How real is the devil to you? Very real to Matthew. Matthew's gospel in this section, I really appreciate, doesn't just call him the devil, calls him by 3 names. The slanderer, the tempter, the adversary. Slanderer, that really helps us understand what the devil is really doing. How does he slander Jesus? How does he cut him down, try to make him doubt who he is? He says twice, if you're the Son of God, do this. Prove it. And you start to think of some of the thoughts that get in our head, some of the doubts too, that make us doubt who we really are, doubt the goodness of God, doubt that our value and worth comes completely from God. Doubt what we're on here on earth to do, what our purpose is, what gives us meaning in life. He slanders, he cuts us down, he plants doubt. And then the tempter. You think of that word tempter, and you think of the billions of people the devil has studied over the years, including me. And you think of all the data he's got on what makes us fall. He's got more data than AI has on human beings. And he channels that all against each one of us. He knows what tempts me, what tempts you. He has got us figured out. And what is so alluring about his temptations? It's that there always seems to be a promise attached to them. There's a reason we desire them, that we reach out for them. There is a promise, and our culture really reinforces this. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to have this. And so we reach and we take, and on the outside, it's beautiful. When we take the bite, it's rotten to the core. And we feel disgusted with ourselves. It is not logical at all for a child of God to give into temptation. We know how it wrecks relationships. We know how it's a dead end every time, and yet we do it. But here's the first time when Jesus battles the devil, the first time the devil does not win. And then the adversary. Here is your real problem in life. Here is our common enemy. And we're going to watch three ways Jesus goes at him and takes him down, wins the war that we could not, and that is the victory that is ours that we rest in, the fruit of his perfect life that he holds out to us. We're going to name the temptations today. The first one we're going to call Be Practical. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You hear the logic of the tempter here. You're the Son of God. Wave your wand and make some bread appear. What's the big deal? Why are you going hungry out here? Why are you suffering and why are you putting yourself through this hunger? You should not be doing this. You deserve better. Be real, be practical. And if you take Genesis 3 and what happened to Adam and Eve and you line them up, you actually see a common theme going through the temptations that ends up being the ways we're also tempted. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Like, what a silly rule. It's just a tree. It's just a fruit. Why did God even put this here? What's the big deal? Be practical. Be real. And you start to think of what that temptation sounds like to us today. And I think it sounds something like this. You know, it's just a little lie. It's just a little bit of, throwing your coworker under the bus so you don't get blamed for the problem. It's not a big deal. Like, be practical, be real. And then you go and read the next chapters in Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount. And the life Jesus calls us to is completely impractical to what our culture says today. Just a few examples. Jesus says, love your enemies, be people of mercy, be known as peacemakers in this very conflicted society. And I can't turn a country radio station on without hearing how to get revenge on my ex. Jesus says, be generous. You have so much coming to you in the life of the world to come. You are going to be so taken care of. Use that energy, that time, the money that I've given you right now, and just be radically generous, and you will stick out as my people in this world. People will want what you have. But the world tells us, take care of yourself first. And if there's any excess, give that away. But make sure you're noticed and recognized and praised for it. And if you're not, hold it back because they don't deserve it anyways. Be practical. For every time we've been practical and ignored the laws and commands of God, Jesus obeyed in the finest details. Because God was so real to him, so present, so good, so worth it. It was so practical to Jesus to obey. And he gifts that to you, the fruit of his life, his victory over temptation. The next one we're going to call Be Spectacular. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You can hear the devil instigating him, urging him on. Like, you want people to worship you, right? Show your power. Flex your divine muscle. Call on your angels. Be impressive. Be someone people want to follow. Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. That's not what real power looks like. I didn't come to be impressive to people, but to be impressive in the things that matter to God. Same thing happened to Adam and Eve. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This will be a step up. You think this is going to be your fall? God is keeping something from you. Imagine what's on the other side of knowing what he knows, having the wisdom and power he has. He's scared of you. He's suppressing you. Be spectacular. And we start to think of what this sounds like in our own lives, how strong of a pull it is to be impressive to the people of this world who are just as fallen and broken as we are, but to make our lives about trying to impress them, trying to keep up with them, trying to make them like us, trying to belong, instead of being impressive in the things that matter to God. And where we have tried to impress the world, Jesus was impressive in the things that matter to God the Father, his commands and his virtues, and he gifts that to you. His victory over temptation, the fruit of his perfect life. The last one here we're going to call be in control. I think this is the temptation of our day. He comes to Jesus, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Each time, Jesus does not respond in the way that I tend to, arguments, debating, arguing, reason. No. He trusts in the power of God's word. He lets the word manage the situation instead of him trying to be in control over the devil. The devil is saying, look, you're the Son of God. Why do you have to suffer and die like these people? Right? You could pass all that. This is your kingdom. This is your world. You created it. Like, rule it with me right now. But the devil doesn't understand that Jesus' view of power and control is very different. The devil wants to give us quick and easy power and control in a win-now world that is very appealing. It should be easy. We live in a microwave culture that everything should be in our control right here, right now. And Jesus says, no, I'm actually going to give up control. I'm going to surrender to the will of God the Father, who wants me to give myself to death, even death on a cross. And then will come the kingdom and the power and the glory at the last day when I raise their bodies, the new heavens and new earth. But for now, I rule in their hearts gently, quietly. I form them with my word. I'm not manipulative. I'm not controlling. Same thing with Adam and Eve. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. They grab control. They think God is keeping something from them. They want to be like God, have all the power and wisdom they do. And the more they grab onto that control, onto that wheel, their life tailspins into ruin and destruction and death and disease. And then they hide. And then they blame each other. And then they live in shame, and we know what that's like. But what does God do? This is what I want you to focus on today. God shows up. He finds them in their hiding. They're covering themselves. He asks them what they did. He promises to send them a champion who will defeat the devil for them, give them the fruit of his perfect life, his victory over temptation, who will win the war even as they must battle on. That's why Jesus went to the wilderness. He was there on purpose. It was his destiny. The Holy Spirit led him there. God the Father's full approval was on his shoulders. God had his back as he went out there. He wasn't alone. And he faced the devil, the slanderer, the tempter, the adversary, in all the ways we do. These temptations were very real to him. He represented us there. Where we have failed, where we have fallen, he succeeded. He stood on God's word. Where we've disobeyed, he obeyed for us. And so now to pull this all together, we see a passage in the New Testament that takes what happened to Adam and Eve, connects it with Jesus. We start on the right side. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Rest in this victory. Rest in Jesus' victory over temptation. Recover there every week, every day. And find your courage and your strength to face those temptations that are still in front of you. Never give up. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.